We dive into a full game preview of the Baltimore Ravens week 3 matchup with the New England Patriots, talk about the Jason Pierre-Paul signing, and more of the very special guests coming up next here on this episode of Locked On Ravens.
You are Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
And we return here with another episode of Locked On Ravens, your daily Baltimore Ravens podcast. I am your host, Kevin Ostreicher of RavensWire. Thank you so much for tuning in here today, making Locked On Ravens your first listen today. We're free and available on all platforms, including over on YouTube. And we are part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day. Today's episode of Locked On Ravens is brought to you by BetOnline. BetOnline is who covered the season with more props, odds, and lies than ever before. BetOnline, where the game starts. We are back at Purple Friday, third Purple Friday of the 2022 season. Coming off that pretty epic collapse against the Miami Dolphins, 42-38, Baltimore loses, but we're moving forward. We're talking about the Patriots game for Baltimore in week 3. Jason Pierre-Paul as well, and here to do it with me is former Baltimore Ravens wide receiver and Super Bowl champion Kadri Ismail. And Q, again, not a great way to end last Sunday in week 2, but hopefully Baltimore will be able to take some of that motivation and put it forth in week 3 against the Patriots.
Yeah, I don't know if they're going to put in the locker room and in and around the facility where the players interact with one another. 711. That's all I want to put, 711. Because it was 710 games in a row where a team leading by 21 points or more, they pretty much secured the victory. But that 711th game, the Ravens ran into a fourth quarter buzzsaw called the Miami Dolphins and snapped that beautiful streak. Definitely want to look forward, not in the rearview mirror, lots to learn from. And I think part of what, you know, you can take away from it is just simply this Baltimore Ravens secondary and pass rush. A good pass rush helps a secondary look really, really good. But there's a lot there that we can jump into.
Yeah, Baltimore right now, they're looking for some answers. I think they've definitely throughout the course of this week, I mean, I think they will take this as motivation. And, the coaches, the players have said, look, they didn't execute in the ways they needed to. And that's the bottom line. And they are correct. But you got to learn and move forward and apply those lessons from this game. But Q, the Ravens, they finally get some pass rushing help in here. The Ravens have lost Vince Beagle to a torn Achilles. They've lost Steven Means to a torn Achilles. Tyus Bowser, David Ajabo still healing up from their torn Achilles injuries. But Jason Pierre-Paul on the way here as Baltimore signs him a reported one-year deal up to $5.5 million. Now, look, Pierre-Paul was one of the better options still on the market as a free agent right now. You're not going to have these top 10 pass rushers on the market in week 3 of a season. You're going to have to get what you get, and you're not going to get upset with it. And for the Ravens, that's what they have here. Pierre-Paul, in his years in the league, 12-year veteran, 91.5 career sacks, his total 603 tackles as well. Q, it felt like this was a move Baltimore had to make. Do you agree with that?
I think so. The elephant in the room is the fact that you look at Tua Tagovailoa, who, not that he's not a strong quarterback or deserving of the flowers that he's received as far as his performance with the 6 touchdowns, but we're talking about 6 touchdowns. We're talking about a team where all last year they struggled to get after it and get to the quarterback. I know they wound up signing Justin Houston last year, and it helped out some. But overall, I think this offseason they try to get guys to come in, play for them. You know, you had some issues as far as salary cap and creating space for it. And I think it is spilled over into week 2. Week 1, we saw, an offensive line that was shuffled around with the Jets. And so it made life difficult for Joe Flacco. But this time around, there were some plays to be had last week. Thankfully, the rush got there. There were plays to be had this week. The rush didn't get there, and those plays were made. And, 461 yards later, you're looking at Jason Pierre-Paul coming in and hopefully giving a much-needed boost to to some precious pass situations that can hopefully close out, basically the bottom line, close out a fourth quarter so the Ravens can secure a victory.
Yeah, and so Pierre-Paul does have a bit of inside-outside versatility. I know, Q, we talked a bit about this when Pierre-Paul had his first visit. He's 6'5", 275 pounds. It does have a little bit of a laundry list of an injury history, but at this point, again, you're hoping that he can kind of almost be a bridge before Tyus Bowser comes back, because it feels like Bowser is doing pretty well in his recovery so far. We could see him hopefully pretty soon after he's eligible to come off of the PUP list, and that would be after week four, so maybe he starts practicing after then. But Q, for a player that, again, a lot of this is he in shape? Is he able to play immediately? He was signed on a Thursday. Here we are on Friday. For Sunday's game, I would not anticipate him playing in Sunday's game just because he is so new. I mean, do you think he does? When do you think we'll first see Pierre-Paul on the field for the Ravens?
So if he's in shape, and I thought, you know, one thing John Harbaugh was mentioning was the fact that if a guy wants to come in and play, it's not about getting in shape when you come in. It's about how can you help us now? How can Jason Pierre-Paul, JPP, come out there and play right away? There's not much you need to know as far as scheme. I mean, the guy has seen pretty much every defense that there is to know. So it's not like you're learning some complicated offense and you're a wide receiver and you're kind of getting caught up to speed and a la Dez Bryant. This is, hey, if you're ready, okay. And that's where when the announcement was earlier this week that he got signed, that's where in my mind I was like, okay, cool. They feel that, you know, he's in shape, he's ready. And I think, you know, to that end, he needs to come out and in my mind play right away. Let's see what you got, bro. There's too much football. If anything, I would say the New England game is a scenario where you got a quarterback that is similar to a Joe Flacco, where he's going to be stationary in the pocket. Has some, well, a lot more mobility than Joe. But at the same time, I know he's nursing a sore back. So the mobility, it won't be at its premium. And I think that's where, you know, you would have a pass rusher be able to pressure the quarterback and make life uncomfortable for him and help your secondary out greatly.
Right, and so Pierre-Paul was getting healthy throughout the majority of the 2022 offseason. But look, when he is healthy, he has produced both with the Giants during the early part of his career and with Tampa now in the later parts. I mean, last year was a bit of a struggle for him. Played in 12 games, was dealing with the nagging injury, only 2.5 sacks. But before then, he had 9.5 sacks in 2020, 8.5 sacks, and actually only 10 games in 2019, excuse me. Then you have 12.5 in 2018, 8.5 in 2017, 7 in 2016, et cetera, et cetera. So the production is there. The proven ability is there. But what is he going to be, you know, entering what now is his age 33 season? Does he have enough of that juice left for the Ravens? I think that he, again, with him running with Adafi Oweh, him running with Justin Houston, and also having the ability to pop inside if you need him to with his frame, because he's played both defensive end and outside linebacker, there is a lot of ways for the Ravens to use him overall. But Q, let's put a bow on this Miami game, because I want to get just your overall general takeaways, as I have throughout the entire week, just kind of picking them up for me, each person I've had on the show. What are some of the things you took away from this game? Because there are plenty of things to take away, just not all of them good.
I think the biggest thing is the short yardage and red zone really, you know, surprised me as far as the inefficiency of it. And it's led me to feel that I'm going to put a pause on what we feel is what this team is about, bully ball. And I think with Nick Boyle not active, a healthy scratch again, you know, I just feel bully ball isn't the same without him out there on a football field. And that being said, the passing game has really just blossomed. And, you know, make no mistake about it, that zero coverage was real. You look at Rashad Bateman's, you know, snag, you know, plucked the ball out of the air with the slant route that he set up Howard on. And when he ran 88 out the gate, it was phenomenal. That was what you wanted to see. And I think, you know, Lamar just overall handled himself really well. Obviously, there's one or two plays that we would love to have had back. But I think overall, defensively, meltdown. Offensively, plays, as scary as it sounds, you know, could have been even more. So I think this is something that if you want a glass half full it, you know what? You're going to get better in a defensive setting. And then at the same time, I think offensive setting, whoo, look out when that run game finally pops. And if it is a Ronnie Stanley, let's see it. You know, I'm hoping and praying that, you know, Ronnie will get back, because I think once he is, it's going to be a difference maker as far as just what Ronnie brings to the table, his talent level.
Yeah, I mean, again, and I know we've said this so many times, Q, Ronnie Stanley, I think, is the key, the final piece to unlock this offensive line, because if he can get back, and we don't know where the mobility is going to be coming back, especially early on, but if he can get back to what we have known, or even like 75% of what we know Ronnie Stanley can be, that's still a Pro Bowl player. You know, he was an All-Pro, one of the best at this position. He can still get there, I think, but we'll see what ends up happening. Hopefully Stanley and J.K. Dobbins will be able to play in this one. Unconfirmed as of now, we don't really know what the timelines for both are, but J.K. Dobbins practicing fully, Ronnie Stanley picking up a couple limited practices so far throughout the course of Wednesday and Thursday. Coming up here, though, on Locked on Ravens, we'll continue to talk about this football team, previewing the Ravens and Patriots Week 3 matchup, talking about that Ravens offense going against the Patriots defense. So be sure to stay tuned. We still have a ton to talk about here on Locked on Ravens. First, though, I do want to tell you a bit about Brightco. And for engagements, we've all seen the fails on the internet. You don't want to be that guy, and you certainly don't want it splattered all over the internet. The guys at Brightco is really insurance. Well, make sure you get a replacement for the full value of that ring, no matter if it's lost or stolen, or you just can't figure out what happened to it. And insurance can sometimes be a pain. Well, the guys at Brightco turned the whole experience around, so it's probably the easiest thing you can do for yourself this week. There are no excuses. For $5 a month, you get totally comprehensive coverage, and it won't take you more than 2 minutes on your cell phone. Check it out, bright.co/lockedon. We're back here with our second segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Ostreicher still here with Kadri Ismail. And Q, for the Ravens in Week 3, again, it's just about moving forward, just putting that Dolphins game in the rearview mirror, but taking the lessons from it. And when we talk about the Baltimore offense, this is a conversation we had last week. The Ravens run game outside of Lamar Jackson has not been good. And I think that might be putting it a little bit light. Now, when you actually look at the stats for the Ravens run offense, they rank 13th in the league in yards per carry at 4.7. But again, last week you take out Lamar Jackson's stats, the running backs and everybody else had 16 carries for 36 yards. That's 2.3 yards on the ground. I mean, Mike Davis had 5 carries for 4 yards. That's 0.8 yards per carry, not even a full yard per carry. So with this Patriots defense, Q, the Ravens will be traveling to Foxborough to play them. The Patriots defense is a top 5 unit in yards per attempt. They give up 3.5 yards per carry on the ground. They are a top 5 team in terms of total rushing yards. They have allowed just 156 on the ground. I mean, how does Baltimore get this run game jump started, and how much of it do you attribute to maybe just getting a guy like J.K. Dobbins or Ronnie Stanley back, depending on how healthy they are?
Perspective, we have to look at this. I think when you look at the Dolphins game against the Patriots, it wasn't just, you know, forcing a round peg in a square hole. So with that, you can't necessarily just say, oh, you know, they're so great up front and so stout that, you know, it's all about what the Patriots do. I think it's about game planning. I think it's about the game planning of what works. I think for what, you know, I believe Bill Belichick and the way he does situational football in his mind is, I need to take away basically the element of Lamar Jackson. Why? We need to contain him. Let everybody else beat us. Let someone else beat us. Let's take away Mark Andrews, because that's his go-to guy. Obviously, Bateman, he's proven himself, but he's not the all-pro guy that is Mark Andrews. So I think they'll look at the stats. They'll look at the whole picture, and they're going to take away pretty much those outside lanes for Lamar Jackson to navigate through. They'll just stuff the middle and they'll double down on Mark Andrews.
And I think that for any defense, you're looking to take away Mark Andrews, first of all. And you're probably saying to this Ravens team, hey, we're going to let those receivers beat us if they can. And so far, the passing game has been really, really good so far. Lamar Jackson obviously slinging that football around. Rashad Bateman, as you talked about, has had a couple of really, really long touchdowns, and also his had a couple of other nice plays. Devin Duvernay has stepped up. DeMarcus Robinson called a touchdown against Miami. They have contributors everywhere in that passing offense. But Q, when you're talking about the deep passing game, versus the short passing game against a team like the Patriots and just for the Ravens offense in general. We've seen the Ravens want to push the ball down the field this year. Lamar Jackson, I mean, crazy enough, he has a 10.2 touchdown percentage this year, meaning he's thrown a touchdown on 10.2% of his throws, which is obviously tops in the league. Phenomenal there. But how would you attack this Patriots defense, Q? Are you continuing to push the ball down the field? Are you taking the short stuff and kind of picking up those yards that way and pushing your way down the field with long drives?
I just think you have to. You have to push the ball down the field. You have to put pressure on the defense. I know the safeties are going to be, on the lookout. So here's the thing. If we want to see this running game be successful and really take off, I think if you push the ball down the field, it adds the more cover two shell 88 type of a look, which should open up for the rushing attack. If you are going to go ahead and try to take away Lamar and either spy a guy on him and or whatever, then it's imperative that the Ravens, not only hit him and win on the outside, but also that run after catch on the outside that we've seen clearly. Rashad Bateman has put in that and proven that on film. So that's going to be a bonus. I liked what Greg Roman was doing with Isaiah Likely, trying to just get him the ball. The quick screens to the outside. Let's see what he can do with the ball in his hands. Give him a little bit more confidence. And then I think this is a game in which hopefully we'll see, a greater play calling for Isaiah Likely.
Yeah, and I think for the Ravens offense, key, one of my keys for this game is to be able to convert on the third and shorts and even the fourth and shorts if you get into those situations. We saw against Miami 3 of 10 on third down, 1 of 3 on fourth down, and both the fourth down fails were extremely costly with the one at the Miami 1 yard line, obviously the failed snap exchange between Jackson and Linderbaum. And then you have late in the game, a first down goes a long way to helping to put that game away. Instead, you give the ball back to the Dolphins, and they're able to do their thing and score on that possession. So, Q, with those third and shorts, fourth and shorts, is there anything you want the Ravens to do differently there? I know the QB sneak aspect of things hasn't necessarily been a strong suit of Lamar Jackson's over the course of his career. For all the things he's good at, QB sneaks just seem to be that one thing that this offense and Jackson just can't get down.
Well, we know we got Mark Andrews for it. That was a creative play. You go ahead and quick snap it. And, now Mark Andrews is the quarterback. I think, hopefully it's a case where guys like Morgan Moses, Zeitler, and even Linderbaum come to play. You used to always say as a former player, he's like, oh, man, anybody, short yardage should be yours. We just got to get a yard. We just got to get a yard. And I think, if you really want to be that team and be talked about, you need to figure out a way to get a yard into discussion. And I think that's something where, it could be a strong point of emphasis on how to keep working and putting yourself in position. So, yeah, when it's time for that short yardage to come about, doesn't matter that you're on the road, you're going to pick it up.
Yeah, you have to, especially when an offense like the Patriots, and you got Mac Jones over there, a couple of playmakers, Damian Harris, who torched the Ravens the last time these two teams played. You got to convert on those. And we saw so many times, Q, 2019, 2020, you go back to 2018, and even you could look to 2021 sometimes too. The Ravens offense in the many situations could take those 9-10 minute drives and just run the clock out with the bully ball. But against Miami, it just felt like that aspect of things was so hopeless. They weren't going to get it done. And then, as I've alluded to multiple times this week, you have the inevitability of Tua trotting on that field. And with the way the Ravens defense was playing, with just the bare cover their secondary was, you're thinking, how are they going to get this job done? And at the end of the day, they could not. We're going to talk about that Ravens defense coming up in the final segment, diving into how they can stop Mac Jones in this Patriots offense. So be sure to stay tuned. We're going to talk about plenty more here on Locked On Ravens. First, I do want to tell you a bit about Bet Online, though. And BetOnline.net is your number one source for football betting info this season. You can find all the latest player developments, team matchups, news, podcasts, and in-depth articles and analysis on every game you can find. And as always, BetOnline remains your continued source for all your sports wagering information, with live betting and up-to-the-minute scores for every sport out there. It's the fastest and easiest way to check in on all your favorite games and events, including MLB, MMA, boxing, and golf. So head over to the website, thebetonline.net, or use mobile device to learn more. Bet online, where the game starts. We're back here with our final segment of Locked On Ravens. Kevin Allstriker still here with Kadri Ismail. And cue that Ravens defense right now. It is struggling a little bit after having that performance against the Jets in week one, week two against the Dolphins. A different story. And you look at the actual stats here, the Ravens are a bottom 15 team in both passing and rushing offense or defense, excuse me, when it comes to yards per attempt, net yards per attempt through the air. The Ravens are giving up 6.7, which is 23rd in the league, and yards per attempt on the ground, they're giving up 4.8, which is 22nd in the league. Now, I think a lot of what happened on Sunday against the Dolphins, Q, had to do with some of the youth in the secondary. Yeah. Marcus Peters is your corner number one because Humphrey ended up leaving the game at the end, couldn't really play. He hadn't played in 611 days. Jalen Armour Davis, who, to his credit, I thought had a couple of really nice plays and held his own in some circumstances, but there were others where it just did not work out. No. And that's a rookie guy playing in his first NFL action. Daryl Worley, who was caught up off the practice squad. I also thought Pepe Williams had a couple really nice plays in there too. But against the teams, Jacoby Myers for the Patriots, their number one wideout, has not practiced on both Wednesday or Thursday, so his availability looking pretty up in the air right now. So the Patriots would be relying on guys like Devontae Parker, Nelson Aguilar, and a couple other players. Hunter Henry is one of those tight ends. Johnny Smith, another one. How important is it, Q, for the Ravens to stifle this Patriots passing attack and make the Patriots offense maybe a bit more one-dimensional into maybe more of a rushing offense where you can, again, maybe stack the box a bit more if you know the passing game isn't working?
Yeah, I think if anything, it's the level of communication and knowing your assignment. I know Marcus Williams alluded to that earlier this week, saying how confident he is in his own abilities. But then, you know, there was a lot of extra communication, and while he was saying, well, you know, we do have a lot of communication that we do in general, and we've been doing. Like in my mind, I'm like, yeah, you have, but you haven't. And so I think it's critical, you know, the names that you mentioned, whether it be Armour Davis or heck, even Kyle Hamilton, they're going to test you when you're in a game. They're going to test to see what you got. And until you stop it, they're going to keep on going after you. So ultimately, yeah, make them one dimensional. But I know one thing to be true. Go ahead and let them have some momentum and watch how things can quickly snowball. New England is a tough place to play. Bill Belichick-led team is no slouch.
No, you can never count out a Bill Belichick-led team whatsoever. And for Mac Jones, this will be the first time he faces off against this Baltimore defense. Now, we have seen in the past, especially recently, these rookie second-year, third-year quarterbacks going up against this Ravens defense for the first time sometimes struggle in a big way. Joe Burrow, his first game against the Ravens defense, probably one of the worst games of his career so far. You have Justin Herbert last season enters the MVP conversation coming into Baltimore and don't really hear about him again in the MVP conversation. So still had a good year, don't get me wrong. But after that game where he struggled, the Ravens defense took it to him, even to his first game against the Ravens defense. I mean, the second game on Sunday, we're not going to talk about that one anymore. But I think for Mac Jones, Q, being able to pressure him, speed up his internal decision-making clock is going to be so, so key, because then he's going to get into situations where, look, we've seen Marcus Peters turn bad quarterback decisions into turnovers countless times throughout his NFL career. So how important is it for the Ravens to confuse Mac Jones at the line and just pressure him and speed up that clock?
Yeah, so I think it's going to be a little bit challenging to say to a quarterback, that former first-round guy, part of it is his poise, part of it is he's seen so many things. He's an Alabama guy, so the rattling, the getting after him, I mean, sure, you want to put hits on him. Those hits are cumulative. By the time the end of the game, you start to see, like, oh, boy, where's the pressure coming from? So I get all that. You know, I think ultimately I have to say it. I mean, like, do your assignment. If you're, you know, one of the big runs late in the game was just simply put, your D-line didn't do their assignment. And it was I just think that they caught the Ravens in a bad defensive call that worked in the Dolphins' favor. And then now they're in the red zone, and the rest is history as far as Armour Davis and company not really being able to keep the Dolphins out of the end zone. But, you know, I think for Mac Jones, when you have an opportunity to create a turnover because of the fact that, you know, he's a little bit gun shy or whatever, or trying to get rid of the football, I think that's something that, you know, really can benefit you. But, you know, he's getting rid of the ball quickly. I think the short tackling has to continue. I think that they're going to have to make their presence felt. This is all about the redemption of the defense. That's how I look at this game.
And it's a good way to look at it. And it's funny how these things work out. Kyle, I thought of a new question I could probably ask you every week here in talking about X factors, because I'll do the offensive one next week, but for defensive X factors, Q, one player, who is one player in this game who you think is above all else important, either to have a bounce back game or have a huge impact all across that defense? If you had to pick one guy, who you taking?
Kyle Hamilton, plain and simple. I think the Marcus Peters, Kyle Hamilton communication or miscommunication, when you had the fastest guy in the league blowing by you, it doesn't matter who's underneath you. You know, the job of the safety is, you know, be deeper than the deepest. And so if he is in the end zone, you're in the back of the end zone. You know, you're always staying over top of him. If he's in the first row eating a hot dog, you're going to be on the fifth row sitting there saying, let me get a crab cake. You know, that's something that has to be. So I think Kyle Hamilton is due for a rebound game.
Yeah, that was going to be mine. To be different, I'm going to say I'll go with Odafe Owe. I think some people are a little disappointed through two games for Owe. I think he has had an impact. It just hasn't been the impact people were expecting when you were talking about this guy's taking over the number one outside linebacker job. He's the pure number one pass rusher. We saw flashes in 2021. I think he has – look, he's been double teamed a bit, and I think – part of that is he's a second-year player, still learning a little bit. So, look, there might be some growing pains, and we have seen Justin Houston kind of take over that a little bit, and he has had a phenomenal start to the year. But I think if OA can get it going a little bit, that's going to be huge, especially for confidence later in the year. But when you're talking about the second-year IQ, I want to go back there because we do have a mailbag question from Gigi who says, why didn't the Ravens activate Ardarius Washington? He has experience that the rookies lacked. And this is an interesting one because Washington – can play a little bit of safety, a little bit in the slot. Now the Ravens activated Darrell Worley instead for the Dolphins game, but do you feel like we could potentially see an Ardarius Washington? Cause he has shown flashes, but hasn't necessarily had a ton of game experience early on.
Yeah. You know, I think there's something to be said. Does he know the system? If he knows the system and he feels like he's not thinking about it or he's not having mental errors in practice, I think the Baltimore Ravens treat their practices as like little miniature games. And I think if you don't handle what you're supposed to handle, your responsibilities on a practice field, you're just simply not going to see the field come game day. So I think it's a multi-layered kind of conversation. It's not just, oh, well, you know what, he's not playing or he is going to play. You got to go out there and prove it, and proving it meaning in practice.
Yeah, there is a lot that goes into a decision like that. And I think with Baltimore hopefully getting a bit healthier in their secondary with hopefully a return of Marlon Humphrey and Brandon Stevens as well. I liked what I saw out of Pepe Williams on the field as well on Sunday. So maybe a player like Washington, you kind of have him waiting in the wings. But at the end of the day, you know, you don't necessarily need him until an emergency situation. You can continue to kind of hone his skills on the practice field and on the practice squad. But Q, looking at the final score prediction from me here and just who you think is going to win this game, I think this will be another good one, another close game. Again, we talked about it. You can't cut out Bill Belichick. The John Harbaugh, Bill Belichick rivalry, as you want to call it, has been strong over the course of the past decade plus. And I think this, you could add another great game. I mean, last time these two teams faced off, Q, you had the monsoon game where that final possession for the Ravens, the skies opened up and all the water in the world rained down on that field. And the Ravens almost won that one. But how do you see this one going?
I honestly feel this is a game where the Ravens, if they handle their business, it could get ugly quick. I think Lamar Jackson has grown. I think at the same time, this is a game where he can continue to grow long as whoever is on Matt Judon keeps Matt Judon away from number eight. No big rushes, but big arm passing. I say it's 33-21.
33-21. All right. For me, I've gone back and forth. I think my score is a little closer than yours. I'm going to go 27-24. I think the offense definitely could take that 27 number and go into the 30, 33, 36 range because of how they've been performing. But this Patriots defense has been a tough one over the first 2 weeks here. They do have talent, former faces, former Baltimore faces, Matthew Judon playing in this one. They also have Lawrence Guy, who was in Baltimore many years ago. And I think for a defense that in New England, they have to know some of the struggles Baltimore has had on the ground. If they key in on that aspect and they're able to successfully stop it, it's going to be up to Lamar Jackson and this passing offense to carry the load once again, which they have done. They have done it. I'm not saying they haven't, but I still think that Baltimore, they're not going to forget that Miami game anytime soon. I'm thinking they're going to win 27-24. But Q, thank you so much for hopping on. That's all I have for you today. And hopefully the Ravens will be 2-1 when we talk next week, because in week four, boy, do they have a tough matchup with those Buffalo Bills.
Whoo, buddy. Out of the frying pan, into the fire. I think you got to be consistent each and every week and improve each and every week. And I think this is a game in which you seize on the opportunity. We can look ahead to the Bills. They can't. I think this is a critical game for what John Harbaugh and the Ravens want to do this year.
It is. And also, you're talking about conference record for these games. The Miami loss hurts the Ravens in that aspect. And a win against the Patriots would definitely go a long way, especially because, look, the Ravens aren't going to get eliminated from the playoffs if they lose this game in September. But you look to late December, early January, and this two losses back-to-back here against two AFC opponents could come back to bite you. So I think that's another really important reason why this game is so important, is the Ravens do have the Buffalo Bills coming up in week four. But thank you so much again, Q. I really do appreciate it. If you want to support the show here, if you were listening here today, be sure to subscribe on YouTube, follow along in audio form. It all helps out a ton, and thank you so much. But that's all I have for you here today on Locked On Ravens. Once again, thank you so much for tuning in. When we get back here on Monday, we'll be diving into everything that happened in the Ravens weekly matchup with the Patriots. So be sure to stay tuned for that. And I will see you right back here on Monday.